Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through on Golden Spiral Media.
That's awesome. Thank you.
The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 89, Stradivarius Review.
Welcome to the Walking Dead Talk Through. A fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And tonight, we will be talking through Season 9, Episode 7, which is titled Stradivarius. But before that, we have an errata, sort of. I just felt like calling it an errata. I mentioned a character that was banished out of Alexandria, and since then I looked it up. He was actually mentioned in Season 5, Episode 16, Conquer. That was Davidson, not Peterson. And he was not a founder of Alexandria. He was with a small group that came in and for whatever reason was unsuitable. So I still wonder, could they have brought back Davidson or something else like that? With all these X's, you have to wonder. I think some crazy people got in there. Anyway, okay, we got a little bit of feedback I wanted to share from last week.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
From our Twitter friend, Ken from Chicago. Hey, Ken. And you did actually tweet to us a couple of things this week, but there wasn't anything specific to cover. You mentioned something that actually Mark and I were talking about prior to starting the recording tonight. We'll talk about it later. You'll know it when you get to it. But anyway, he had some feedback on last week. He says, actually, I think this was a couple of weeks ago, but I wanted to share this. He said, it's uncanny how well you guys know Walking Dead to see how much you casually got dead on right. My personal favorite was
Chopper!
That's just for you. Who am I kidding? That's just for us.
Yeah, it's awesome, though.
He continues, he says, what if last week's Walking Dead episode was the last one Lauren Cohan filmed, and tonight, or the season finale, reveals what happened to her and give her a proper farewell? I think we got some indication of it this episode, but I wouldn't be surprised if we get a flashback or something, but I'll get to that later. He continues, he says, so a tree growing into a walker, is that why a bird felt safe enough to pick maggots out of the walker's body to feed its baby birds? Hashtag circle of life, but hashtag ew. And I heard, I know she's listening, Diana, you brought up a good point on your podcast that I hadn't realized, and that is that a bird will masticate the whatever they bring to the baby birds. Basically, they'll chew it up so that, you know, they spit it out to the baby birds, and they were basically taking the maggots or the worms or whatever it was that was growing out of the walker and dropping it whole to the baby birds, and that's not exactly how it works. So good catch. That might have been your co-host Steve, I don't know, but one of you mentioned it. I remember that. Anyway, Ken continues. He says, would it have been better story-wise for The Walking Dead to have revealed only Ann in the helicopter and save the other reveal for the first movie? Also, where did the horse and dynamite come from? I'd hope for the follow-up episode would explain. Hashtag, but no. And I responded to him. I said, maybe I know I wouldn't have had the reaction I had sobbing during the cold open and stopping short when I realized, wait, he's not dead. I talked about that last week.
Yeah.
However, you know, thinking about it, I probably would have had a dumpster moment times 100 next year if during the first movie comes out and surprise, he's alive. So a year passes, you know, and we finally find out that, well, you know how you thought Rick was dead all this time? Well, not really, but I don't know. And he responded to that. He said, yes, that's the issue. Yet many people feel upset at being deprived of a proper send-off for Rick and being fooled again that the bridge explosion is another hashtag dumpster moment versus Gandalf's return in Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, or Letty's return in Furious Six. Many people wanted to cry and feel deprived of it. I have not seen Furious Six. I don't think I've seen any since the second Furious film, so I can't really respond to that one. But who's Letty? Who was?
Oh, that was Vin Diesel's girlfriend. What's her name? Yeah.
Okay. Jordana Brewster?
No. She played his sister. It was okay. the Hispanic girl.
Oh, Michelle Rodriguez?
Yes.
Okay. That was going to be my second guess. So, okay. Well, anyway, that's it. Thanks, Ken. Now for this episode, season 9, episode 7, Stradivarius, written by Vivian Say. I think that's how you say her name.
Yes.
And she, unlike Geraldine Inua, she does have some credits to her. She wrote an episode of The Crossing and two episodes of Nightfall, which are all stuff from this year. I don't recognize any of them. She has some director show credits, all for shorts, but, you know, so she's directed some shorts. And she's got some other miscellaneous crew stuff, I guess as production assistant and stuff like that. So anyway, so she's not like a rookie per se, but she's a young, talented writer, and I think she did pretty well. Directed by someone that needs no introduction, at least for you fans out there, Abraham himself, Michael Cudlitz. And not to give things away, but I think he did a fine job in his directorial debut. So what did you think, Mark, of Stradivarius?
Well, my rating would be 9 out of 10 slingshots to the Zed's head.
And I am going to also give it a 9 out of 10, and I was trying to decide what to call it. And I'm going to give it 9 strangely walking paisley-colored sickos. More on that later. All right. We've got a few listener ratings, Mark.
Steve gives it 9 out of 10 boot to the head walkers.
It seems like 9 out of 10 is a popular rating for this episode.
Yeah.
Diana, who I mentioned earlier from Aim for the Head podcast. Hi, Diana. She gives it 9 out of 10 dogs named dog.
Dieta says, I rate this episode 9 out of 10 secret rumbles in the woods.
And not to conform to peer pressure, Lara gave it 8 out of 10 Walker chew toys. All right. Time for awesome sauce. Awesome sauce.
Dieta says, seeing Daryl and Carol together again.
Steve says, even though they did not have their weapons, the new people went and ended the Zeds around their rig with sticks, rocks, and boots.
Lara says, Jesus and Aaron, I really enjoyed their interactions together, and I have high hopes for these two crazy kids. I ship it, and I hope they find a way to unite their two segregated communities through the power of love. Happy person clapping, it looks like. And as a lover of the arts, I'd like the scene with Luke and what he had to say about the arts and music uniting humanity, which I agree too. I agree with that. That was a nice speech. She continues on saying, I finally am interested in seeing this relationship between Daryl and Henry develop. It reminds me of Daryl's relationship with Beth. When Daryl is paired up with another character who balances out his gruff survivalism with an idealism and naivete, we get to not only see the protective side of Daryl, but he also opens up more. And hey, Daryl has a dog.
Indeed, Daryl has a dog. More on that in a bit. Mark, what do you have?
Well, Tara being the behind-the-scenes leader in Hilltop, even though Jesus is the quote-unquote leader.
Yeah, Jesus is the leader, you know, because people like to follow Jesus. Because Jesus inspires us to be calm and thoughtful. I wait each episode to play that. I never get tired of it, ever. I never will either.
I'll continue on and say the new people are able to take care of themselves with the Zeds, and Michonne was slightly impressed.
Did you say new people?
New people. I like new people.
Aaron and Jesus with their playful battle. It looks like they will be together, which is what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I like that too, actually.
They need that. Especially Aaron after losing his husband at one point.
And his arm.
Luke's talk about the Neanderthals with Sadiq on how man evolved. The separation of human and Zed. You know, giving hope. A nice little story that I like was in the episode, triggering something within Michonne. You could see some sort of reaction with her during that scene.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that too. And in fact, that's my awesome sauce, but a different part of it. When she cuts down what she thinks is a weapon and it's a violin. I thought that was funny.
Violins are weapons, too.
Yeah, well, especially if you can't play the darn thing. It's like nails on a chalkboard. Other than that, other people, they had mentioned them. But I will bring up one thing. I know at least one person in our listening audience will get this one. And that has to do with something that used to play a lot when we were kids. Dieta, I'm pretty sure you're going to remember this.
How can Ray Whitfield Ford, South Telegraph in Taylor, and Allen Ford, North Telegraph in Bloomfield Hills, sell so many top-quality used cars? Well, one reason is, for over 30 years, people buying their first car know that here you get a doggone good deal.
Here, dog, come on, dog. Me and dog want you to go to Telegraph Road right now. Get a good deal.
Allen Ford, Bloomfield Hills, Ray Whitfield Ford, Taylor, with a great used car to fit a first-time budget.
That particular commercial played for at least 20 years growing up, listening to the Detroit stations, in my hometown of Windsor, which is across the border. Wow. Me and dog wants to go to Telegraph Road right now. Get a good deal. Anyway, Dieta and Jeff, if you're listening, I know you remember that. that was one of the ones we used to always talk about when we were kids. Anyway, I think I was born to podcast because one of the things I used to do when I was a kid is I used to record the audio from commercials and then I would play them back. And of course I'd make little audio tapes. We would interview each other and stuff like that. So I think I probably should have known that I would podcast later.
Or you could have been head of the commercials channel in Demolition Man on the radio.
Oh yeah. I made this really cool, when I was in when I was at Seneca College, I made this really cool commercial from it was a Pizza Hut thing and it had to do with their stuffed crust pizza. It was around the time of Independence Day.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, they're coming to your city, to your neighborhood, and you will want to eat them crust first. And this pizza turns into, it looks like a UFO and it turns into a pizza box. And then it comes out of the box and you can see it's a pizza and then it separates and it ends up like right in the guy's mouth. Anyway, it was brilliant, but I never got it filmed though. But I was actually going to submit it to Pizza Hut. There, if you want to use it, anyone that's listening, go ahead. It's public domain now. Anyway. All right. That's it for our awesome sauce. Mark, thank you for indulging my nostalgia. Now it is time for the week variety with a little more nostalgia because of this clip that we always play.
You're worthless and weak.
Twisted Sister. All right.
Steve says, still not knowing what happened to Maggie and why.
Yeah. I mean, all we know is she left, but we don't know why. We don't even know when. So I have to agree, Steve. And with that, some very similar words from Dieta, she says, not knowing why Michonne is not speaking to Maggie or know that she left the Hilltop. What on earth could have happened between them? Yeah, I wonder. And I won't speculate too much on this because in our feedback, Diana has a point that I thought was brilliant. So we'll get to that later.
All right, cool. Lara says, the poppy 80s style song they chose for the Hilltop intro was kind of weird and out of place in the episode. But my biggest gripe is the way they've just hand-waved Maggie's leaving Hilltop. Maggie has been one of my favorite characters since she was introduced in season 2. I feel her character is unceremoniously being swept under the rug. I'm sure there will be more revealed about why she left, but after seeing Lauren Cohan's last powerful performance with Maggie in the cell with Negan, I think she deserved more than 2 lines of exposition to explain what had happened to such a major character. I do agree.
Yeah, and before I respond to that, Lara, I'm surprised at you. I thought you, of all people, would have appreciated that song. Because I know you love 80s and 90s. Pop, so I'm surprised at you, but anyway, I agree with you. It wasn't enough. Definitely, she's gone, but we don't know why or when she left. And I do feel though that we're going to hear more next episode. So I hope I'm right, and if I'm wrong, that sucks. I mean, if anything, it's kind of a thumb their nose at her. You know, like, oh yeah, you'll be back, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's really cool, you know? So she might be willing to come back and you might take her back, but you don't have to, like, you know, snub her or, you know, make it like a non-event. You should have acknowledged it in some way. And maybe they still are. Maybe this is all kind of to set us up for something we're not going to expect, but I don't know. It's right now, it doesn't feel too good to me. In a lot of ways, I would say that that's like the one weak point so far of Angela Kang's show running is how they've dealt with the absence of Maggie. So I'm hoping, since everything else I think she's done has been stellar, I'm hoping that this will turn around the next episode, but we don't know, really.
Yeah.
All right, what do you have?
Well, the dog being called Dog.
You mean Dog. You
would think Daryl would come up with a better name for that damn dog.
Yeah, I saw an interview, I think it was Entertainment Weekly, where they interviewed Angela Kang, and it was something like how he was distancing himself from caring about anybody, and that it was a way for him to be impersonal with the dog. Like, by not giving it a name, he wouldn't grow too attached. Bonded. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I agree with you. It's kind of a lame thing. It shows a lack of imagination.
Yeah. Almost like, you know, you would think, hey, call it T-Dog or call it Merle.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't do that. The only other thing, the dog being stalked by the walkers as it's tied up. Why would Daryl tie up the dog? Yeah, the dog seems to be able to fend for itself and warn him of when the Zeds are coming. It would be bait for the walkers. You can actually see the rope that the dog's tied to
In
the scene.
I have to agree, and I didn't quite understand what was going on there, why that was necessary. All right, well, my weak sauce, and I showed this to Mark prior to us recording. I mentioned it in my rating. The Paisley Walker there, Bernie was his name. I watched it on AMC Premiere without commercials. Same time the episode was actually playing, actually. I just didn't feel like watching the commercials. I was too impatient. So anyway, I watched it on AMC Premiere on my 4K TV. And I noticed on there, and, you know, on there when you have HDRs, well, even though it's upscaling, you tend to pick up things that don't look quite right. I think they're amplified a little bit. And anyway, Bernie, I watched it over and over again. I slowed it down, paused it in several places, and went back and watched it again and again just to prove that I wasn't like completely out of whack. His face looks like it had been altered in some way. And I don't know if they changed his face. Maybe there was too much. Maybe he was too decayed and they realized that they had to undecay him because he wouldn't have been dead for that long, or they changed the person, or I don't know. But for whatever reason, and you can especially tell this when Bernie's in motion. Mm-hmm. You can't see it so much when he's not moving too much, but when he's in motion, it just doesn't look right. It's like they did something to his face, and it looks like Adobe After Effects, like there was some kind of effect applied to him. It was enough that I immediately noticed it. It wasn't like something where I was kind of going through things with a fine tooth comb. I didn't have to Zapruder this. This was something naked to the eye, first watch. I was like, that looks a little weird. Like, it wasn't as bad as the deer. Nothing would be as bad as the deer.
Well, no, in comparison, you want to compare it to Sophia when she came out of the barn, because that was very blatant with a walker.
Yeah.
With CGFX on it. So it wasn't as bad as that, but it was something that was like out of color for the character, because a complete pale face, but elongated neck.
Yeah.
And then the wound on the neck was extremely, like, deep red and rotted in some way.
Yeah.
And you actually do see it, and you and I spoke about it, and I mentioned the close-up right on Magna when he comes very close, and it looks kind of off at a certain point.
Yeah. So I don't know what the deal is with that, but it just didn't quite look right. And since the special effects oriented, I wouldn't put this blame on Cudlitz. Like I say, maybe they just put too much makeup on him. They rotted him out too much. And then they looked at it and said, wait a second. This guy just died yesterday.
Yeah.
and realize that they had to go back. But otherwise, I don't know. That's the only explanation I can think of that would make any sense, that they de-aged his corpse. Or it was like literally they changed his face. They put another actor's body another actor's face on that body. I don't know, but it looked weird. All right.
Yeah.
Sad or aw sauce, and the definition of it keeps changing. So I'm just going to call it sad or aw.
Aww.
And this one was an aw.
Yeah. Dieta says aw sauce. Carol cutting Daryl's hair.
Daryl's hat.
Well, if you look at his hair, it does look like a hat. But yeah, she gives a couple of frowny faces and a smiley face. Or are they smiley faces?
And you had one as well.
Yeah, mine would be the new group having to put down their friend who is a walker. You know, we were just talking about Bernie. Just like our group had to do in the past, this rings home for everyone that witnessed it in this episode, because it brings back a lot of memories, because it's somebody that group particularly knew, and you could see them being upset about it and them turning.
Yeah.
And I just reflect back on when you saw Merle, or, you know, when oddly enough, Shane or somebody turning at some point, or even Sasha at that.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it was sad to see their reactions. I mean, if anything, it made them feel a lot more real to me and kind of defined their character, that. And of course, you know, Luke's speech about the flute.
Yeah.
Which I looked that up. I was curious because originally, I guess they originally thought that was a Neanderthal flute, and then a Slovenian archaeologist looked at it and said, no, this is actually an early human flute. So that would corroborate Luke's theory, unless that's not his theory. He's just reading the other theory. But that was in 1995 they discovered the flute. Let's move on to what sauce.
What?
Well, Steve says, why didn't Luke just say, I'm holding a violin. I'm not dropping it. I'm putting it down slowly. Oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, true enough. I agree with that. Okay, so we got two that were related to the scars. So I decided it would be best if we kind of talk to them together. So sure. I grouped them up. So I'll read the first one. Cheryl says, question. So we saw Michonne with a scarred X on her back, and now we see Daryl with one. Wonder what that backstory is.
And Lara says, what are the X-shaped scars on Daryl and Michonne? I am intrigued. Also, I was glad to see the return of Daryl's long scars across his back again. A callback to season 3 when Merle ripped Daryl's shirt and revealed that Daryl had been brutally abused by their father. They never got around to that story, but I'm glad to see that the showrunners aren't forgetting the character's past, which shows a bit of continuity, which I do agree with.
Yeah. When I first saw it, I thought, oh, did they have worse than that? Or did Daryl get worse? Because it almost looked like equal signs and some other stuff. But then I read this and then I went, oh yeah, that's right. We saw those scars in, I think it was season 3, episode 10, Home. I don't think it was in The Suicide King, which was before that. That was episode 9, but I seem to remember it was that episode. And yeah, we see Daryl's back and he's got these scars, and Merle was kind of shocked when he saw them. Now, I'm wondering if Maggie has one of those X scars too.
Maybe that was why she fled.
Maybe. I wonder if anyone else has a scar. Like, it can't be random that both Daryl and Michonne have the same scar at the same place. And maybe Daryl was back in Alexandria, and then this trauma happened, and Daryl decided that he needed to go back there. Maybe Negan escaped. Do you think Negan could possibly be the perpetrator of this?
No.
I don't think so either, to be honest.
I think it had to be somebody new that was coming to the communities, and they invited them in, and with that, they got abused in some way, maybe almost being taken over. Who knows? This is not something out of the comic book, so I don't know. Maybe this is just something they're throwing in there to being the reason why Maggie left.
The return of Davidson? That's partially the reason why I brought that up earlier. I doubt it, because someone still there would have remembered the guy, I would think. I would think, for example, Aaron would have known him. And there are still some people around from that time. Scott, who, you know, we haven't seen too much this season except to tell Rick or Michonne some bad news. But anyway, there had to be somebody around. So I doubt it was him, but Somebody they must have brought in. And I'm thinking, I think we talked about this last episode, but someone similar to a character that was in the prison arc in the comic book, who I think, I don't remember the guy's name, but it was kind of the character, you know, seemed to be a nice guy and turned out to be a psychopath.
Yeah.
All right. I don't have anything more about that. Do you have any what sauce?
The only thing I have is Maggie's with Georgie and has baby Herschel with her. You know, that, you know, at least we got a little bit of that information, but we would all be wondering, did Maggie take Herschel with her? And obviously she did.
Now, one thought that I had with the way that Jesus is acting and that conversation he had with Tara, I have to think that Maggie didn't leave like early in that 6-year time span, that it's fairly recent, like maybe a year ago or something like that, like a while back, but not 6 years back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I guess it would make sense that, you know, she would bring Herschel with her. I mean, you know, he's just a young boy. Even if 6 years had passed, he'd still be, what, 7, roughly, at this time?
At this time, yeah.
So, that doesn't surprise me at all. But, okay, so one what sauce that I had was that Daryl was feeding dog Walker fingers and toes. That cannot be good for the dog. I'm sorry. Like, we know that the dog's not going to catch the zombie virus, not going to die from that. But that's rotting flesh, and it didn't exactly look like recent rotting flesh, recently dead. I have to think that that's not a good thing for the dog to eat.
No. Yeah, that, and it's funny, too, because if you think about it, in comparison to other zombie movies, the animals don't really change.
Right.
Yeah, look at the pigs that Ezekiel was feeding the Zeds to, and wind up giving them to the Saviors.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it didn't seem like any long-term side effects happened to the Saviors. I mean, it's kind of a thumbing your nose at them, like a screw you kind of thing, but I don't think that they actually got sick from it. All right, well, let's move on to our regular feedback.
We can talk about it.
I'm done talking. Time to listen.
And we got yet another voicemail from Steve. So here it is.
Hello, Walking Dead Talk Through. Brian and Mark, this is Steve. And a few notes on Stradivarius. I wonder when we're going to find out all about what happened with these scars that we're seeing on people's backs, and obviously this schism that occurred between Michonne and Maggie that made it so... So much that she didn't want to go back to the hilltop if Maggie was there. I wonder when we're going to find out about that. I think it's probably not going to be until the second half, if not maybe next season or maybe a movie. I don't know. This was the exposition episode that I thought we were going to get last week that we didn't. So it's marked it down a little bit. There's just a lot of exposition, a lot of talking and telling us what happened instead of showing us things. But there was some showing, some really good. I love the shot at the beginning with Rosita and when Michael Cudlitz talked about how he directed that. It was really amazing. He said they shot like 2 or 3 minutes worth to cut it down to that 30 seconds because he wanted to get the full effect of that. I liked that Michonne respectfully killed Bernie. Like, she didn't just walk up to him, cut his head off, or just thrust her sword through his skull. She very respectfully walked up and just pierced the back of his head and kind of gently lowered him down to the ground. It was really nice to see her responding that way to these new people. And I really liked the shot at the end, that aerial shot of them riding off to go look for Eugene. And I just really liked this episode a lot, and I can't wait to see next week to see where we're going to go from here. And I have to admit, I did not recognize C. Thomas Howe at the first watch through until you guys talked about it on the Facebook group and in the Facebook posts that he was there. And then on the second watch through, I saw it. And I'm like, obviously that's C. Thomas Howell, even though he's got crazy hair and a big old beard. So hopefully we get to see some more of him. Thanks. Talk to you next week.
Yeah. C. Thomas Howell. That was something that, Michael Cudlitz brought up on Talking Dead. And we were talking about prior to us starting the recording, but I was looking for C. Thomas Howell. And as soon as we see the guards come up and let Michonne know about Rosita, I was like, there he is. But Mark, you didn't see him.
No, not at first. And it took me a bunch of times watching. And I'm like, why am I not seeing him? Why am I not seeing him?
And you thought, I have to show you where it was in the episode. And then as soon as I did, you saw
it. Like, oh, my God, there he is. Oh, I didn't. Yeah, it was like I was totally oblivious. Maybe I was looking for him to be like he was in Soul Man or something.
Oh, my goodness. No. Now, if you don't know Soul Man, that was a movie that he did, I think, in like 1986 or 87. And I'm pretty sure that he's embarrassed about that at this point. That is, you could file under movies that would not be made in 2018.
Hell yeah. Definitely.
Very offensive. But anyway, he's better known for, he was in a ton of stuff. The Outsiders, I think, is his best or his best known role, but he was even in E.T. Mm-hmm. And Michael Cudlitz knows him because they both worked on Southland, which was Michael Cudlitz's last series before The Walking Dead. So they were both regulars on that show. So I guess there was a scene where they needed an experienced writer, and Cudlitz knew that C. Thomas Howell was in Atlanta or lived in Atlanta. And so he called on him. And I guess the only question that C. Thomas Howell said is this a possibility that I could get recurring? And they're like, yeah, he doesn't die. So, and I would have to think, you know, an actor of his caliber and, you know, notoriety, that they, much like Brett Butler, I think they will be using him again.
Yeah. The last time we saw C. Thomas Howell, he was in, I believe, Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And he was in I guess you wouldn't know, Mark, but some of those recent DC movies like Suicide Squad and that, he was in them too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have to pay more attention. I've seen those.
Yeah. I know he was – he had a couple of episodes in another Apocalypse show, Revolution, I believe. I didn't look it up on Wikipedia or on IMDb, but I'm pretty sure I remember him being on there. Yeah, he played a bounty hunter on Revolution. So I was right.
Wow.
But yeah, so yeah, he's definitely been a busy actor. He's got, much like Michael Cudlitz, both of those guys have a long, long list of credits, both TV and film. So anyway, I'm sure we'll be seeing him again very soon. Yeah, I thought that the episode was a lot of like moving the pieces along on the chessboard. It did feel much like a middle episode. And I think, you know, you can look at these three, six, seven, and eight as like part one, part two, part three. And, you know, depending on how they set up the mid-season premiere, maybe part, you know, four. But I tend to think that this was like a middle episode. It felt like it.
Yeah. And in between.
Yeah. I liked how Michonne revealed that, how she knew it was the same herd. Basically, she recognized, oh, there's a dude with a paisley shirt. It reminds me of, remember how Michonne loved that cat in the King County Cafe?
Yeah, get out of it.
Yeah, gaudy, just like the shirt. I liked, there were a couple of uses of the aerial shots. There was also an aerial shot as they're coming up to the hilltop, and we see like how they've got a whole lot of farmland set up all around the hilltop. Like some of it's fenced off, some of it isn't. Looked like they had like, I don't know, corn or some other kind of crop like that growing like further down, but they had like other plants, stuff like that growing. And I think part of it, like I said, part of it was like an extended fence around. So I thought that was cool. Obviously, they've been doing well under Jesus, because when you do work for Jesus, Jesus looks well upon you and feeds you well. I can't help myself. All right. We've got a pretty long one here from Dieta.
Yeah. Well, she states, Dieta states, well, we finally know who is running Hilltop. Jesus with Tara second in command. Praising women, emojis. So Maggie decides to leave with Shaggy and the gang, Georgia and her sidekicks, to help build other communities. Praising women.
You know, it's funny that she calls it that. I was like, what? And then I remembered, yeah, their van kind of looked like the Mystery Machine. From Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, definitely. But what about the communities you already know about? Alexandria, the Kingdom, and Oceanside. Speaking of Oceanside, where are they? Did they just quietly go back to their beach resort community? This whole Maggie departure is just not sitting well with me. The six-year time jump has Michonne walking around like the angry warrior Xena. Daryl wandering in the woods like Tom Hanks in Castaway, and Maggie just happily skipping off with Georgia like Dorothy on the Yellow Brick Road. What happened, and why is everyone so scattered? Aaron and Jesus sneaking out and meeting in the woods for their fight club in exchanging of who's doing what in their communities. Overall, a decent episode, but so many unanswered questions. I loved seeing Carol and Daryl interacting. She knows just how to get him to do what she wants, and that is looking after Henry. The new group looks like they can handle themselves pretty good, but I'm still not sure why they couldn't just stay at Alexandria. Oh, but oh well. You know, glorifying women. Happy women, happy women. Maybe the hilltop will be more welcoming. Poor Rosita. I love the scene of her running through the woods. That was definitely some good directing from good old Abraham Michael Cutlets. I'm looking forward to next week's episode.
Yeah, I am too.
Same here. Yeah, that whole Rosita thing was pretty cool. It was taken pretty much almost like out of a horror movie, a traditional kind of horror movie.
Yeah.
And you definitely felt the strong women vibe about this, about women going out, which I'm glad. I'm really absolutely glad that they're actually giving strong leading roles. And I think that's where Tara is leading up to. But that's just me.
Yeah, and I have to say, with something you said, Dieta, about bringing the new people.
New people. I like new people.
Bringing those new people to the hilltop seems a bit manufactured, a bit contrived to me. It seems just an excuse to bond through fighting, I guess, to show they are good people, and for Michonne to learn about Maggie being gone. So I don't really see a point to it at this point. Like, yes, maybe the hilltop would welcome them, but then again, why didn't they bring them to the kingdom as an example? I don't know, but I hope that it won't feel as manufactured or contrived once we hear the whole story. So we'll see. But thanks, Dieta, and as usual, great feedback.
Yeah, awesome.
So our last bit of feedback, and all of you, of course, get the Showcase Award, but I'll wait until the end. Diana, I mentioned it earlier, but she wrote in and she said, Steve and I talked on our podcast last night. That's, again, Aim for the Head podcast. Give you a nice plug there. About a big theory I have about the reason why Maggie left. Think about it. What if Michonne and everyone else found out that Maggie's Negan death quest was the reason Rick was out there that day, that she had had Daryl knowingly run interference? If not for Maggie, Rick would never have been that far out that day. I think Michonne found out about it, and it killed her relationship with Maggie. It's possible that because of all that fallout, Maggie decided to make a fresh start with Georgie and the gang. Thoughts? I think that is a brilliant theory. I think you nailed it. Now,
same here.
Definitely would explain why they're estranged, why Michonne has not gone back there. It could explain why Maggie left. We don't know, but it could. Maybe, you know, after a while, she felt so horrible about it. Maybe she eventually decided to go. Maybe it was the other event. We don't know. It does not explain everything, though. It explains the divide, but it doesn't completely explain the forced isolation of Alexandria. Like, she might be pissed off at Maggie, but I don't see why she would cut off ties with the kingdom. It certainly doesn't explain the scars on Daryl and Michonne. I think it might tell part of the story. It doesn't tell all of the story, but it tells more of the story than we had before. So for that, and for Dieta and Steve, I give you all the Showcase Award. I seem to be giving multiple Showcase Awards, but I'm stingy with playing the award song, but oh well. It's long, so I usually don't play it to the end. But anyway, we had a couple of little other notes, so not much here. But Mark, what did you have?
Well, I already mentioned it. The scene in the beginning with Rosita, it was something out of a horror movie. I'm glad they want the scare tactics back with us now in the show, because that's really what brought us all in within the first season. Like, you know, the fear of everything that's going on. So obviously we're getting that horror element back and the unknown.
Yeah. Couple things that weren't mentioned on here. I know you didn't like Carol's hair. I thought her hair looked a little better this episode.
Oh, I agree. Okay. Yeah, it looked a lot better. It looked like somebody actually, you know, brushed the wig and made it look nicer.
And I had speculated about Daryl that you know, wondered if he had been out there the whole time. And it seems like I was correct. It seems like he was out there the whole time, or at least most of that time. And he just stayed out there so long, he figured he wouldn't come back. So, all right. Well, you got through that pretty quick, actually, if all podcasts would go that quickly. Let's get into news ratings and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
Well, unfortunately, when it comes to ratings, I don't have good news. Ratings were down this week. The Walking Dead got a 1.8 in the 18 to 49, 1.80 specifically. And that marks the lowest ratings in the show's history. The lowest rated episode prior to this one was season 9, episode 3, Warning Signs. And that was at a 1.93 in the 18 to 49. But it got 4.794 million viewers. And that is the lowest since season 1. Specifically, episode 2, Guts, and episode 4, Vatos, also got 4.7 something million. I think in the case of Guts, it got 4.7, and in the case of Vatos, got 4.75, without looking at everything that I have on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Needless to say, not great. I guess it does make sense in a way. I guess people were kind of curious how the show was going to be after Rick. I wouldn't be surprised if things come back a little bit next week for the season, mid-season finale. But it is a little disappointing. I would worry that ratings will be down come part B.
Yeah.
As far as Talking Dead, it was up in the 18 to 49 with 0.77. And it was slightly down with 2.093 million viewers. That compares to last week's 0.73 and 2.119 million. So mixed bag on that. But yeah, still not great. Also worth saying that those Talking Dead numbers are higher than the ratings that Fear the Walking Dead was getting at the end of the season. So it just goes to show you that you can talk about The Walking Dead and it still gets better ratings than Fear does. That's kind of sad. All right. Well, some things about the episode. This, I think we mentioned, but this is the first thing that Michael Cudlitz had directed. I had been thinking that he had directed something else, but I think I was getting my lines crossed with Andrew Lincoln. He has actually directed two episodes of the British comedy drama series that he was in, which is called Teachers. He directed a couple of episodes from its season 3. So when he comes back, assuming he does direct in season 10, this won't be the very first thing that you'll see for him directing. But, you know, that's still to be determined. But I know that he was going back to shadow of the director. So,
yeah, probably just to do it in the same vein that the other directors are doing or how they want it shot.
Yeah, and it was mentioned a couple times on Talking Dead and in the like videos that went with the episode. I know Danai Gurira mentioned like, oh, this is the first time any of the actors have, you know, directed. Technically, that's true. I will, however, mention that Coman Domingo, of course, had directed an episode of Fear the Walking Dead. So in terms of like the franchise, it's not the first time.
Yeah.
And of course, Lou Diamond Phillips, who isn't a part of the show, but he's an actor who directed, but In the case of Coman Domingo, he directed season 3, episode 12.
Season 4.
Did I say season 3? I meant season 4. Yes, thank you. He directed the episode called
"You're Worthless and Weak."
Weak. Yeah, and one other thing about the episode, we had talked about this before, Magnus' tattoo. I brought that up. I wondered if that was an actual tattoo of the actress or if they had painted that on her. Not the tattoo on her hand that Michonne had mentioned, but the tattoo actually on her chest. I looked it up, and sure enough, that is Nadia Hilker's actual tattoo. There are several pictures that you can see of her, and I guess she was a model before she was an actress. And at some point during her career, she got that tattoo, and there are several pictures of her out there, like modeling with it and acting with it. So I guess they figured that it matched the character, so they left it. It looks like they kept it intact exactly as it as her tattoo is. They didn't change it in any way. All right. So as far as news is concerned, a couple of things. Actually, they're both related to the same story. This is an unfortunate thing. And, you know, we don't like to get into politics too much, but Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin made the, I will say, unfortunate comment that said that gun regulation isn't the solution to mass shootings in the U.S. Instead, he blamed America's culture of death, illustrated by the Americans' obsession with zombie television shows. That's more to blame, he says. He says, it starts with everything from the hype of entertainment that we focus on. What's the most popular topic that seems to be in every cable television network? Television shows are all about what? Zombies. I don't get it. That's what we are. I think that's what you are, buddy. If you didn't realize it, Robert Kirkman and the original illustrator on The Walking Dead, Tony Moore, actually those two I think were childhood friends. Mm-hmm. And Tony Moore actually had – he did an op-ed piece – in a newspaper, and I believe it was on that website. I took a little few things that he said. He said, anyone who has ever known me knows that I have always been profoundly proud of my rural Kentucky roots. He continues, he says, so when I read that Governor Matt Bevin decided to put The Walking Dead on blast, I was particularly wounded. He posits that it is a celebration of death, and such media is a societal ill responsible for this ongoing wave of shootings and violence. This line didn't fly in the 80s when Tipper Gore tried it, and it doesn't fly with me now. He continues, he says, so now in this uneasy age when people are more racially and politically divided than I have seen in my lifetime, Governor Bevin decides to trot out this tired old garbage position and accuse our creation of being the root of society's problems. These stories, as many others in the genre, are generally viewed as being about the strength of the human spirit in the face of phenomenally bleak circumstances. I think that this is ultimately why they resonate with people so much. If he talks about a culture of death, this is a final dig. He says, perhaps Bevin should inspect his record on dialing back Medicaid expansion to thousands of vulnerable Kentuckians, or cutting worker safety regulations and union protections in the state, likely in response to the violations his own family Bell factory incurred. And to that I say,
there's a conspiracy out there. You know what I'm saying? There's a conspiracy. A C-O-N conspiracy.
Yeah, I mean, I'll you know, I don't want to get too political, although even bringing it up might be political, but I'll just say, yeah, it's not a good thing for politicians to like scapegoat stuff, you know, and blaming the Walking Dead for mass shootings. I don't agree. I really don't. And, you know, mind you, I'm still a Canadian, born and raised. I don't understand guns. I don't have a gun. I don't want a gun. They scare me. I just don't want a gun around just for that reason. And I think that that's probably common with Canadians. Even though I've been living in the States now for 18 years, I'm still not really comfortable with it. I think it's okay for people to have them if they want them. Mm-hmm. I just don't want them. So that's me. But anyway, I don't agree, Governor, but you're entitled to your opinion. Anyway, with that, why don't you tell people, I'll just say, don't give us a bad review for that, okay?
Yeah.
We're just reporting it. And, you know, I mean, there may be some truth to it. There may not be. But I'll just say that, you know, we're just trying to report on something that I know other podcasts will mention as well. So anyway, Mark, tell people how to get in touch with us.
Well, to interact with us, you could actually – we really want to encourage you to go to our Twitter and follow us on Twitter. You can find us at Twitter at Walking Dead GSM. And to submit your feedback and theories, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That would be facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. We'd like to encourage you to use our email address as well, walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. The feedback form at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback is now functional again. So you can send a text or audio there. You can find our SpeakPipe widget or call 304-837-2278. The deadline for next episode is Tuesday, November 27th at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. And the best way you can support us is by subscribing to us in Apple Podcast, goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple. While you're there, please give us a rating and review. Be nice. That's all we ask.
And if you don't use Apple Podcasts, subscribe to us to the in the podcast client of your choice. And if you happen to use one that allows you to do ratings or reviews like Stitcher, for example, give us a rating or review there. We'd appreciate it there as well.
Is there one for Spotify as well or no?
I don't know. I have not seen one there. And supposedly podcast support is coming to Pandora, but I don't think it's been rolled out yet, but we'll keep you aware of it when it does. We're on there.
All right. Well, find out all the other ways to support GSM at goldenspiralmedia.com/support.
I want to take a minute to bring up something because I need to figure out what I'm going to do here. So I'm going to let the audience ponder it and let Mark ponder it and let myself ponder it. So I found out, I knew when Star Trek Discovery was starting up again, I knew that it was January 17th. And it's actually on a Thursday, so it's going to be the first time that I'm covering two shows that are not released on a Sunday. So that's really good. But I also found out that it's going to play 13 weeks straight. There's no break. So that means that it's going to have episodes through April 11th. And that probably means that the entire back season of The Walking Dead, I'm going to have to be covering two shows at once. Now, what you may not realize is both of our shows, I hate to say it, but we make so many mistakes. We are heavily edited. And I'm going to try to edit this one less so that you can kind of get a feel of it. But I tend to edit the crap out of what we say. I get rid of ums and ahs, and I even like sometimes combine words so and different things. And to shorten how long it takes us to do the podcast. Thankfully, this one is a lot shorter this week, so that's good. But when they're long, and believe me, like the episode when Rick died, that was really,
really long.
It was almost 3 hours raw. And, you know, I had to do a lot just to get it down to what I did. I actually sped us up. You probably can't tell, but if you go back and listen to it, everyone, all of our speech is sped up by 7%. And that, just to do that, just to reduce the amount of time it took. But that in itself takes a long time to do, because you don't want to speed up the sound effects or anything else. You're just speeding up us. So anyway, I have to stop doing that, because even though the episode of Star Trek is going to run on Thursdays, it basically means I'm going to be podcasting or editing or producing or preparing every day of the week, and I can't do that. Like, something's got to give. So, yeah. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to handle this. So, I mean, I have my options. The most, you know, obvious options is that I step back from the podcast. That doesn't necessarily mean I step down, but maybe I don't do all the episodes. That's a possibility. This is kind of where I'm leaning right now. We go to a more live format. So basically, whatever we say, whatever we flub up, whatever, nothing gets cut. So
you're pulling a Panels to Pixels podcast at that point, because tend to do that at times.
Yeah,
I do. I kind of let it fly after a certain point. I'll let it in the beginning and then let the flubs fly in the middle.
Yeah.
Because we stumble upon and go about and we're rambling, and then I'll let it fly towards the end. At the very tail end, it would be editing. But it actually gives a little bit more of a natural feel, and I enjoy doing that.
Yeah. So I tend to think that we might do that. And, you know, unfortunately, if that means I'm not going to be taking out stuff, that probably means that we might have a couple of curse words in there. Maybe try not to curse, but, and I know Mark doesn't, but
I try to. I think it's Steve's influence on me. He's very good for that.
Yeah. Or we may have to limit our podcast to, like, say, an hour. We're over that this time, but we may have to do that. And if that happens, that would mean something that we've never done intentionally anyway, and that's left off people's feedback. So I know that a lot of you listen to us and give us feedback because you get to hear us bring up your feedback. I know when I call into a show and they don't give, you know, they don't bring their feedback, or they don't, I write something in and they don't use it, I tend not to write back. So,
yeah.
I know that that's a big draw for you guys. So that's not something I want to do, but we may have to do something. I know something's going to have to change. Yeah. And the other option would be maybe combine the sauces, or we don't sauce anything. We just, like, let everybody just give whatever.
Give their old total feedback and surmise it at the end.
The other option would be that I have other people edit. Now, with the Star Trek podcast, Ruthie doesn't know how to edit. She hasn't learned how to do it yet. She may, but, you know, that's something that we probably can't count on. And, you know, I know, Mark, you can edit, and maybe you'd be able to do it sometimes, but you also got Panels of Pixels, so I'm not going to depend on you to do that either.
Well, I've done it in the past, but I can actually give it a whirl.
Yeah.
If need be.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe Mark will at least be able to do some, maybe we'll be able to have Kyle do some, but even with that, even with giving up some of the editing, I know just from the past, like when I had Star Trek Discovery, part of season 1 was overlap with Walking Dead season 8. it was hard just even editing only one show. So, anyway, so I bring all these things up. I don't want to keep bringing it. That's about all I'm going to say. If you have any suggestions or any thoughts, please let me know. You can either, you know, send in feedback through the regular means or on the Facebook group or Twitter. Or if you want to just send me a personal email, you can do that through, I'll just give our, walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. You can Twitter me as well, but, I can't really pay for editing. We don't make any money on this podcast or on the Star Trek Discovery podcast. So can't offer that.
Yeah. And secret admirers are welcome too.
Yeah. Secret admirers. Anyway, we should have an episode of the Star Trek Discovery podcast coming after Thanksgiving, probably after the third short trek that's coming out. So that might be, I think that would work out to the week after that. I'd have to look, but I think that it might be 2 weeks after Thanksgiving. Mm. So anyway, first week or second week of December, we'll probably have an episode out about that, but it's going to be another round table. I just did a round table that I will post about on the Facebook group when it comes out. I did an episode of the Minnesota Star Trek Nerd podcast. And we talked about the Next Generation final film, Star Trek Nemesis. That was pretty good. Talked about it on Sunday. And that should be out this Friday, November 23rd, Black Friday. So while you're in line trying to get an Xbox for $5.
or like me working and moving TVs out to people's cars.
Yeah, exactly. I know that reminds me, Best Buy, you've got a ridiculous, was it, the 43-inch one with the Fire TV, Toshiba, for $129. I almost fell off my chair when I read that in the sales.
Yeah.
They'll probably have five of them.
Yeah, well, it's pretty funny. They actually have a lot of stuff bulked out, and I always suggest everybody just go out there and see what you can get, because the deals are still there before Black Friday.
Yeah.
And I was looking because during the holiday, I'm thinking I have to get a new TV for my mom. So
they've really got some deals for sure. I was surprised. Oh, yeah. And my new computer was actually a pre Black Friday sale. Like I got it for $899 and it's turning out to be a really good computer, by the way, cool. A desktop. My first desktop in like 10 years, but it's great for podcasting, and I'm pretty much podcasting just at my desk these days, not doing anything mobily. So it works out and really powerful. It was the Black Friday price, so I got it early. So I'm very happy with it. Now I can get it and not stand in line. What do you got coming for Panels to Pixels?
Well, as everybody knows, Panels to Pixels, everything that we've recorded over, geez, from the very beginning until we finished off Luke Cage is already uploaded. Everybody can listen to all that in its entirety. Next week, Steve and I plan on starting two podcasts, I'm assuming, on Saturday. So I should have something up, I would say, by Monday, the following Monday.
And so you know what you're going to cover?
We will be talking about Defenders.
Oh.
And we're doing two episodes each, so that'll be five episodes of Defenders.
Oh, I was surprised. I thought you'd cover Daredevil.
We considered it. Steve really wanted to go into Defenders because he never watched it.
Okay.
And it's been a while since I saw it as well. Also, Charlie Cox was in my store yesterday. Oh. I missed out on seeing him.
Oh.
So Mr. Daredevil himself is living in a Connecticut area, apparently. I don't know where exactly, but it'd be awesome if I could actually do an installation in his home.
Well, there you go. That would be cool.
Yeah.
That just came out, what, season four? Is that right?
Is it season three? Yeah.
Anyway, I knew a season had just come out, so... Anyway,
I'm only about five episodes in, but
yeah,
it's really good, but I just haven't really found the time because of the holiday season and the way work's been.
I getcha. All right, so our next episode will be covering the mid-season finale, season 9, episode 8, which is titled Evolution. Written by the longest name in TWD writing circles, David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick, and directed by the longest name in directing TWD, Michael E. Satrazibis. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know the former is true. And he has directed several episodes of TWD, but he's now a co-executive producer on FTWD and directed several of their episodes as well this past season. Description is a small rescue mission braves a dangerous herd in their hunt for a missing comrade, only to discover a surprising threat that could doom them all.
It's a trap!
You could also call this Walking Trek, the search for Eugene. All right, so until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
This is the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Yeah, good night, everybody.